On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Welcome to the program. How you doing today? Good to be with you. My guest today is Mark Schipetta. He's a private investigator and an all-around crazy nutty guy, similar to myself, perhaps a bit nuttier. Mark, anybody who's not scared away by you, you've got to marry them immediately. Why wait?
I laid it all on the line.
I'm sure you did.
On my first date with her.
I'm sure.
You know, when you get older in life and you have baggage with you, you have to lay it out. Because why waste your time?
Well, because you may waste your time, and then when you lay your baggage out in front of the other person, they may say, "Why didn't you tell me you had the baggage?" And then it gets ugly and you start all over again. But you're right. If you lay it out ahead of time, they'll walk away immediately and you save yourself a lot of trouble.
Right. Yeah. Yes. You know, a drink or two. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with the airlines, baggage used to be free. Now you have to pay for your baggage. So is that kind of the same thing when it comes to a date? Do you get some free one free bag to check in before you have to stop paying for it?
But no peanuts.
No, I'm allergic to those.
No, you can't. Yes, you get to have one piece of baggage when you get into a relationship.
Yes.
On the plane of relationships. But if you have an extra bag of baggage, then they tend to perhaps get off the plane.
Then they pack lighter.
Yeah. I always travel first class, but I don't pay for it.
Did you hear my problem that I had with a well-known airline?
No, I did not.
No.
Were you thrown off of a plane?
No. Well, we booked a trip. To Las Vegas.
When you say
Vegas,
we, you're talking about
my wife and I. Yeah. Well, this has since evolved from our first date to a marriage. We're now married.
All right, so we're assuming that the baggage didn't make a big difference.
No, she checked the baggage right in. She unpacked it all.
Good.
Spread it all
did
out.
Did she have baggage? Not that I want to know what it is, but was there baggage involved there?
Or just a
carry-on?
No, she came with some baggage.
Okay.
He's about 20 years old.
Good. What? Okay, fine. I don't even know what that means. But okay, so you're both getting on the plane.
So we book a trip to Las Vegas. She wants to get away for a vacation, and she wants to go to Las Vegas. So, and I love the City of Sin, and she's never been, and I've been out there multiple times.
I don't like the City of Sin,
no.
By the way.
Well, yeah. I do like the City of Sin.
I don't like sin,
you know, at all. I do sin from time to time, even though I was raised a devout Catholic, but that's what confession's for.
Well, if I'm going to confess something, it's not going to be in a little room with a screen in it.
Yeah, I haven't been to one of those in a while.
I've been to one. I think it was a Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
So we booked a flight with, and I had, and I guess I'm naive, for being a private detective, you think I would know better. Mm-hmm. But at the time that we were booking the trip, funds were a little low. And I wanted to get the flight booked to save some money. And I'm trying to cut costs and pinch some pennies. And I booked a flight with Spirit Airlines.
Ooh.
Everyone says that. When you say Spirit Airlines, they go, oh.
Well, it's the old joke. You figure that the propeller is on a rubber band.
Right.
That kind of thing. But it is, of course, a real airline.
Kind of a real airline. So I booked a flight, and it's fairly cheap. And I didn't realize why it was so cheap. I just thought they were cheap. I just thought it was a cheap flight to Vegas.
Did they pick you up at your house?
No, you have to do everything. So we booked a flight to Vegas.
You have to do everything? Do you have to pilot the
plane? It's called Bear Fare. Bear Fare, because it's bare minimum. So their whole theory is, why pay for all these trumped up charges that you don't need?
You said the wrong word.
Right.
why pay for all these charges?
Why pay for all these charges that you don't need?
Right.
And they make it more affordable for you.
Yeah.
So I'm not very good at reading the small print because I didn't have my glasses on that day. And well, first of all, I didn't realize that you don't even sit. They don't even put you next to your traveling companion.
Get out.
No, you have to pay extra for that.
But she's on the other wing? What are you talking about? You have to pay extra for that.
No, I shit you not. You can't. Yeah, I caught on to that.
What if you have a baby with you?
I know, right? What if you have a 10-year-old? They're at the back of the plane, and you ask the person back there, "Excuse me, can you?"
Actually, that's not a bad idea.
Right?
That's the one case that's not a bad idea.
Right?
Yeah.
So I didn't even pick up on that until I got an email like later down the road saying your time is expiring to sit next to your traveling partner.
Wow.
So yeah, I went back in, and it was like an extra $20 or something. Added on.
I see.
All right. So then it's extra money. So then you're allowed to bring in a backpack. All right.
How much is that?
That's free.
Oh.
One backpack. Nice. One carry-on bag per.
What a nice thing to
per,
do.
Yeah, per person.
Right.
But it's like the size of a cell phone.
I see.
And then you have to pay for your bags. And then they don't even have snacks on the plane. You got to pay for all that. So before you know it, it's the price is similar to some of the bigger airlines like JetBlue. All right, so whatever, that's fine. So I book it because we had a nonstop flight. We're gonna travel
nonstop. Well, that's usually quite expensive,
right?
If it's a nonstop.
Right. It ended up being I don't know, $850 round trip for the both of us, which was fairly reasonable,
I guess. I don't know.
Right. So
was she able to get a seat on the plane too?
We never got on the plane.
Okay. Here's the story.
So we're all packed. We head to Logan Airport, and we walk up to the gate, and a female who's struggling with her, I guess, language to speak English, says, "Welcome to Spirit Airlines.
Where are you, or something like that.
Where are you traveling today?"
Right.
We're all excited. I felt like Clark Griswold, on Wally World.
Yes.
Gotcha. And I got greeted by the security guard that's like, "Welcome to Wally World. Yeah. Well, we're closed today."
Uh-huh.
And we go, "Las Vegas." And she's like, "Well, I'm sorry. Your flight's been canceled until tomorrow."
What? As you're getting on the plane?
As we're getting ready to check our bags in. "Didn't you get the notification?" I look on my phone. I see an email.
Oh.
I said, "Oh, well, the email came through within the last half hour, and we were driving here. Sorry."
That's an awfully late notification.
Yeah, right.
What was the reason? Did they say they couldn't find someone to fly the plane?
No, they said there was issues with air traffic control, which was a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
What that basically meant was the plane wasn't filled up enough. They didn't want to waste the time and the fuel, so they were going to wait to the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So we go up to the counter, and I'm pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just reacting. And
you had hotel reservations.
I had hotel reservations. We had excursion reservations.
Yeah.
We had everything.
Prostitutes lined up.
Prostitutes lined up from when my wife was sleeping.
Right.
And I can get a lot done while she's sleeping. It doesn't take very long.
Well, that's why it can be done.
Right.
So this has messed up a lot of plans.
So this has messed everything up, and I'm a very impulsive person.
Right.
So I go up to the counter, and you could see people walking away that are also pissed off that are supposed to travel to Vegas.
But they're just walking away, but you're not.
No. And they don't even offer to put us in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even your flight's been postponed for 2 hours, 3 hours, and we can get out the same night. It's the next day in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So we lose a whole day pretty much, almost 2 days.
Yes.
So I just said, "Give me my effing money back."
Right.
And she gave me my money back.
All of it?
She debited the card. It took 10 days to get it to come through my account. So then we hustled down to two other airlines.
Right.
Like everybody else was.
Yes.
And we go to JetBlue.
Mm-hmm.
And they have two seats left, and it's $2,000 a person.
Wow!
I'm like, are you freaking kidding me?
Wow.
They'd rather keep that seat empty, than affordably
I know.
Sell it to someone.
I know,
in a jam.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so we're standing there with four bags,
right?
And my wife's took a week off from work, and she's like, I texted you that day.
Did you?
I actually texted you that day, and I said, you were heading back from New York, and I was heading down to New York.
That's right, because you had nowhere else to go.
I had nowhere else to go, so right. I said, let's just get in the damn car,
yeah,
and let's go somewhere.
Yeah.
She's, and of course, Janice is so laid back and so cool and deals with my bullshit, and you know, ultimately, I think I made the right choice. I didn't want to wait till the next day.
Yeah.
I just didn't. You know, just out of mere precedent, I didn't want to freaking do it. So I said, let's get in the car, let's go to Mohegan Sun for the night, and then from there, the next, we'll spend the night, and then we'll go down to New York City, we'll go to Broadway, we'll do all this, we'll do all that, and we ended up salvaging the vacation and having a good time, but she wanted to go to Vegas. So that's my...
That's weird.
That's my airline. Yeah, you know what?
I'm glad you didn't mention the names of the airlines publicly.
Oh, it's okay. Spirit sucks. Seriously, there's no Spirit there. It's freaking, they should call it Downer.
Wow.
Or, you know what? Or we cancel flights airlines.
Isn't that something? That's
yeah,
awful.
Just horrible. And
you know what I never understood about airlines? Because they want to do business like anybody else does, right?
Right.
When did this turn take place where I'm not getting anything for free anymore?
Yeah.
How much does it cost? If someone spent like $600 on an airline ticket, how much does it cost to give them like 3 bags of peanuts for free? are you out now 60 cents?
Right.
Why would you restrict someone from having something like that? Why not say a free drink? Your first drink is free. Yeah. How much does that cost you, airline? On the other hand, public relations wise, the passenger would say, why are they really going out of their way to give us stuff?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's so simple. The amount of money they soak out of the passenger, they're losing really basically nothing whatsoever. Yeah. They've already paid for the fuel.
Right.
What's the problem here?
Right. You got to pay extra for extra leg room if you're tall. You're a tall guy. So if you want to fly, you have to pay an extra $100 to be able to spread your legs out
now,
more.
Now, if I want to bring a little bit of an extra bag, do you not have room in the cargo area for this?
No.
Why are you charging? Are you nitpicking these charges like that so much that you're going to actually make me go to some other airline is what you're going to do?
Well, that Spirit's whole marketing angle is that we break it down. We strip it down to nothing. You basically get on the plane and it flies. And then if it does fly.
Apparently it doesn't sometimes.
No,
so you're taking your chances.
Right.
Had it been a bigger airline, perhaps this would have never happened.
Right. So what if we had gone the next day?
Yes.
What were the odds of the next day us getting there and they're saying, oh, geez, you know, there's high winds and now we're canceled for another day?
Yeah, it could have been. You're very smart to get your money back. I don't understand. If there's one airline that would just sit there and say, 3 free bags of peanuts, your first drink for free. You can bring on another 30-pound bag and we'll throw it into place for you. We'll come over and we'll give you... How much does it cost for them to give you a pillow? Why would they have to charge you $80 for a MyPillow? I mean, how much does that cost?
I asked my wife for a MyPillow for Christmas last night, and I think she got me one.
How do you know?
Because she said Santa may bring you one.
That could be a clue of some sort.
I think so.
I actually have a MyPillow. Did I tell you that?
Do you like it? Now, if you let me borrow it, would it be MyPillow?
You're not putting your head on my fucking pillow. Unless you want to start borrowing my underpants,
But they say you don't have to fold. They say you don't have to fold them over.
I never fold over a pillow.
But when you have a crappy pillow,
it's constantly folded over. It's like anything else. For the first period of time, it's the most amazing pillow you've ever put your head on.
Really?
After about 6 months, you kind of forget it's that amazing. And it starts to get less amazing to a point where you have to buy another one eventually. I guess nothing lasts forever, I suppose. But it is quite an extraordinary pillow. I would look forward to your seasonal gifting because it is... Not, I would take the pillow. I'd say thank you. I'd just go to bed.
See, now my wife has a very... voluptuous.
What?
Well, put it this way. My wife has 2 My Pillows.
Oh.
And I like to...
I understand what you're saying.
You know, why can't I just lay my head on those every night?
Well, after half a year, they're not so comfortable either. It's like anything else.
It's like anything.
Isn't it? Yeah. May I borrow your pillows?
Well, we paid enough.
You see what I'm saying?
Right. We paid enough for them.
Yeah, see, we don't borrow pillows. We don't do that.
I don't know.
That's called pillow swapping, and right. I suppose that's illegal somewhere.
So we'll see if I get my pillow for Christmas. I see all the presents. She's wrapped them all.
Yeah.
That's the one great thing about my wife is she does all the wrapping and everything. So I know what the My Pillow box looks like. I've seen it in the stores. So I
can't get away with it too much. You know how big it is.
Is it wrong as an adult to peel the tape back to see what she got you before Christmas?
No, it's wrong for a child. It's right for an adult.
It's okay for an adult.
See, the problem with the My Pillow is I don't like the name of it. It's too simplistically infantile.
Right.
It's like, what's the name of this wonderful pillow? My Pillow.
My Pillow.
That's a little stupid.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little unimaginatively stupid.
But isn't there the Perfect Pillow also? Aren't they competing against the Perfect Pillow?
Perfect Pillow is a better name. It's a better marketing name. What kind of pillow is it? It's Perfect. What kind of pillow is this? Mine.
Yeah, but Perfect...
This doesn't make sense.
But Perfect raises the expectations of the pillow.
Certainly.
But
by then you've bought it already. They don't care.
Right.
You've already got the Perfect Pillow. You paid for it. It's like My Pillow. Once you have it, nobody returns a My Pillow.
Because it's yours.
Well, everything is mine when I buy it.
Right. And if they're marketing it as perfect,
yes.
Then there may be more backlash because I really know it's not perfect.
So it should be called My Sucky Pillow.
My Sucky Pillow.
And then this is not so bad. And then, not so bad becomes, then you keep it.
See, my wife bought me a memory foam pillow.
Yeah, I don't have any memory.
Oh,
anymore.
Those suck.
Yeah. I don't care for them.
Did you see the new mattress that's out on the market now?
No.
Now, this may not pertain to... you've been married for a long time.
Yes, I have.
So, spooning is...
My original wife's name was Eve.
Right. So
she's really into apples.
Spooning may be out of the question for a guy like you that's been married so much.
I never spooned.
Right. Well, see, I've been married for 2 years this February, and there still is a level of spooning.
Really?
So when you are spooning, or when you're snuggling with your significant other, your arm usually goes underneath their body, so they're laying on your arm.
Yes.
Now, if you have a heavy wife...
or a heavy head.
Right.
A heavy
head. That could
wife.
Hurt your arm.
Any arm will fall asleep in one position with something, with anything laying on it. And at first, at first it's wonderful. After about six months... Not true. So wonderful anymore.
But they have a mattress where your arm sinks into the mattress. It kind of goes into the mattress.
Only the arms?
Well,
I mean, seriously.
Well, it could be anything. You can make love to your mattress if you wanted to. anything that's stiff, hard, and long will sink into the mattress.
Like a fishing pole.
Right.
Is that what you're referring to?
Well, I'm saying is that if you want to have your wife...
I don't.
In your, cuddled in your armpit.
No, I don't.
That this mattress allows you to kind of shimmy your arm into the mattress.
But
way she's not laying on your arm.
But would that mattress not be too soakable for everything? Like your body would sink into the mattress? If your arm's going to sink in, your body's going to sink in. That sounds extremely uncomfortable.
I saw it online. It may have been a gag mattress. I don't know.
I don't know if
it's
like a water bed or something.
Right. Yeah. I'm just thinking of, it's a good way to...
I don't like memory foam because I don't like foam that has more of a mental capability than I do.
Right.
And I would start asking questions to my foam bed like, do you remember?
Right.
Do you remember my position from 1927?
They're not comfortable.
No, they're not.
And... that's
ridiculous.
Really, I know we're kind of all over the place here, but that's why we're dysfunctionally normal. Mattresses are a weird thing that I always, we spent a couple $1,000s on a mattress.
Sure.
That's
a lot of money.
Maybe like $1,500, whatever. We got a nice mattress.
Could have gone to Vegas.
Right. We could have, I could have brought more luggage for that.
You could have gotten peanuts.
Right. But why? The whole mattress industry confuses me because, all right, so you can go to your local mattress store and you can speak to a mattress technician and you can lay on the mattress for 5 minutes and lay on the next mattress for 5 minutes. But how do you really know if that mattress works? You need to be on a mattress for a good week, a month.
Right. Yes.
And you spend that much money on a mattress and after a week, it sucks. They're too big and cumbersome to freaking return. You just deal with it.
You do, yes. And you say you made a mistake.
You don't
deal with that anymore.
Right.
I'm very awkward lying on a mattress in front of other people that I don't know.
Right.
And if it's an attractive young lady who's doing the sales, I'm always thinking, how is it for spooning?
Right. Did you ask him to come in?
That's the only time I'll spoon, by the way.
But, right.
If I know you, I will not spoon with you. If you're a stranger, we'll spoon.
Right.
We'll spoon.
Have you ever spooned with a man?
No.
Well, I'm just curious.
No. No.
I spooned with my buddy once.
Okay.
But no, but it wasn't gay. We were in high school, and we messed around with these couple of chicks, and...
Yes.
And
you sure you want to tell the story?
No, it's okay.
All right.
And, you know, they were, like, younger than us. Uh-huh. I mean, I don't know if it was statutory. It may be by today's law, but back in the 80s, it wasn't.
Again, are you sure you want to...
And one of the fathers caught this, one of the girls, uh-huh. sneaking back in the house at 3 okay. in the morning.
Yeah.
And... He actually called us, and there wasn't a cell phone, like mm-hmm. the house phone rang.
Yeah.
This is a long time ago, and threatened to call the cops on us.
Sure.
And we were so scared that we were going to go to jail
yes.
that I think we spooned each other.
Okay. I'm not getting the resolve reason.
Right. If we had a comfortable mattress,
I'm saying
he was like 6'3", 220, and my arm was killing me.
Yeah. And that's all you're saying.
Right. That's all I'm saying.
I wish I had one of those foam mattresses, which they hadn't invented yet.
Right.
That's weird. When I'm in trouble, I don't look to the closest guy and say, let's lie down on the bed together.
Well, we were on the wrestling team at the time.
The positioning was familiar. You know, that's one reason I never, I mean, you've been into wrestling, you've been with MMA, which is the Museum of Modern Art?
Yes.
Or something like that?
Yes.
Martial arts stuff?
Yes, mixed martial arts.
Mixed martial arts, the mixed ones. And you've done that, and you've done a lot of wrestling, high
yes.
school wrestling champ,
yeah,
I understand.
High school wrestling, right. And yes. So.
And even though sexually, for some sexually oriented yes. people, that's absolutely fine. I don't want to involve myself in a sport where my head could end up in your butt
right.
by mistake.
And you catch
or
a whiff.
Even on purpose.
You catch
yes.
a whiff. They may have done a duty earlier in the day and not wiped enough, and you catch
whatever,
a whiff.
Whatever. It's just like.
But that can happen with your wife also.
Yeah, but it's acceptable in my personal sexual orientation
yes.
world. In another
yes.
one, it might have been perfectly wonderful or a great excuse.
That's why God invented baby wipes.
And of course, he did invent them purposely.
Yes.
It was he created the world in a certain number of days and said, oh, crap, I didn't do the baby wipes yet.
Right.
Yeah,
I
get that.
But no, you know what's funny is I put a post mm-hmm. on social media last week, and I'm somewhat mm-hmm. naive at times.
I know.
And, you know, I see wrestling. I still dabble in wrestling and grappling and jiu-jitsu and all that just mm-hmm. to keep myself semi-youthful at the ripe age of 47.
Right.
So I put a post on Facebook, and I wasn't thinking. And I said, I joined a new school, a new local school here in the south of Boston where we live. And I'm looking for men, particularly 35 years and up, to roll around with me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's exactly what was, how is it worded?
Similar.
Yeah,
yes.
Similar.
Yeah. At the fight zone to do some wrestling and jiu-jitsu. Well, people dismiss that part.
Oh, so they all saw that you're looking for someone to roll around
with. It looked like a personal ad. Like yes. I was looking for men 35 and up to roll around with.
Yeah.
And I got so like old, like, you know, female friends of mine, you know, making comments and, oh, I'd like to see that, you know.
Did you get any comments from any guys?
I did. Uh-huh. A couple of my high school buddies gave me so much crap.
All right. But
so
no strangers.
No, because I only have, you know, one of my Facebook friends that I've...
Uh-huh. Now it's the face.
Sorry, my brain was just going somewhere else. So to shift from that,
yeah.
Facebook is doing this whole promotional thing, the year in review. 2016.
Okay.
All right, so it pops up on your page and it selects pictures that you've posted
mm-hmm.
and then it tells you how many likes you have clicked during the course of the year. You know that I liked over 7,000 photos of other people's things in 2016?
You sound pretty easy.
Right. 7,000 clicks I've did?
Yeah, that's a lot. See, that's... I don't think I've liked much of anything. But that's my personality, and
yeah.
it's reflected in the Facebook thing. But I see that's why I don't care for the Facebook. I don't engage in it other than for business purposes, because that's how insignificant it is to show some type of reaction to something. You couldn't like 700 things or 7,000 things. You couldn't possibly.
Well, I would say half of those likes were.
Were they likes or were they, I saw your thing, whatever?
I think half of them were like mercy likes or reciprocal likes because correct. They like something I like, so I like their thing.
I believe it was more than half.
Yes.
Because I know you. Yes. You don't like that much either, really. But you're kind and you're reciprocal. Yes. Yes. I don't even bother clicking because I have morals. If I tell a woman that I love her, it's not just because it was reciprocal. Well, actually, it was. But that's besides the point. Take that back. Forget I said that.
Well, speaking of mattresses.
Okay.
Why can't they send them out on consignment so you can use it?
Well, let me tell you why. If you went into a store and you found out that the mattress that you're considering buying and taking home was in some scuzzball's apartment with lice and with dirty sexual people on them, would you say, oh, okay, I'll pay full price?
Well, why don't they just like wrap it in something?
For 6 months?
Yeah. No, even for 2 weeks.
Because then you can't, they should wrap the people. Because then you can't get an idea of the mattress itself if it's wrapped. That's like going into a Jewish person's home or a Catholic person's home or an Italian's home and they have all the furniture covered with that plastic.
Right.
You can't appreciate what the couch is like.
Then the mattress industry is a big scam. And then the majority of people out there in this world are sleeping uncomfortably because of it, like me.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
Yes, but it's an expensive. I don't think it has to be $1,000.
You can take a car for a drive. You can sample foods before you decide to want to get it all the time. You can do everything. Shut your damn phone off.
All right, it's not important. it's not. You can't keep a car for 6 months. You can take it for a drive.
You know, dealership. I went and looked at it.
Lying on the bed in the store is taking your mattress for a drive.
But you can get an idea for a car within an hour. If you take a car for a ride, you can know if you like that in an hour.
I don't know about that.
I don't know if you can know. I don't know. I don't think you can tell.
I'm not sure about that.
I don't think you can tell if you like a mattress after laying on it for 30 seconds in a mattress store.
No, you need to go to bed.
So, you know what? Bring a toothbrush. I have an idea. Yes. It just dawned on
me. Gotcha. Overnight.
Why not open up a business where we have all different varieties of mattresses?
Yeah.
And when you're in the market for a mattress, you spend the night in our warehouse and you...
in the warehouse.
Wherever.
Right, on a skid.
Well, no. Right. You pay like a small fee to sleep on various mattresses until you decide which one you want to buy.
A mattress swap.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Isn't that a good idea?
Yeah, it's a great idea.
All right.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Well, basically,
why can't marriage be like that?
The moral to the whole story is, the other morning, I left the house at like 3:45 a.m.
Yeah.
Okay? And I drove to the gym. I get up at 3:45.
They're actually open early?
Yeah, they open at like 3:30 a.m.
Wow.
So I get up. Because I can't sleep because of my damn mattress.
Yes.
I let the damn dog out. All right, one of our dogs is still caged because he's a puppy. Well, he should be almost not a puppy anymore. Mm-hmm. And the other dog patrols the house. I let the puppy out, let him pee. I put him back in the cage, and he knows I leave. So he starts flipping out at like 4:10 a.m. And my wife texts me, and she's like, "Where the hell are you going at 4:10 a.m.?
Mm-hmm.
You really have some issues. You need to go talk to someone about your sleep problems." I'm like, "Honey, it's the mattress."
Mm-hmm.
"Well, you know, the dog's this and the dog's that. You know, you just don't sleep enough." I said, "Well, maybe you sleep too much."
Mm-hmm. Okay, ouch.
So that was...
argument coming.
No, she was fine. She was just grouchy because the dog. So I said, "Look, you know, I don't like... Well, maybe we need to get a new mattress." Mike, I really don't think
that's... It all goes back to the mattress. Yeah, again.
Right.
You know, all you have to do is turn it over sometimes.
Really?
With the people on it. No, really. People buy new, then they never, you know, just turn the damn thing over. They should invent, someone should invent some type of a spray, and it's probably done, that every 6 months or every year you spray your mattress, and it kills all the stuff, and it rejuvenates the mattress.
Yeah, right.
And
takes all the dead skin off.
Yes, exactly.
Seminal fluid
and
farts and
all the big stuff.
Yeah.
All the stuff you don't want there.
Have you ever gone to a hotel where you liked the mattress so much that you like took off the sheets to look at the label to see if you could Google it yourself and find that mattress?
No. No, I have not.
I did.
I've taken off the mattress pad to make sure that there were no bugs, but I've never checked the mattress. You don't know the firmness of the mattress just because it's the manufacturer. They come in various types.
Right.
You have to get hotel style.
So I don't know if I like it hard or if I like it soft.
Are we just still talking about mattresses?
Yeah. Oh, anyway, so it is the holiday season.
God. Yeah.
You ready? Are you ready for Christmas? You ready for Hanukkah?
When's this?
You know Hanukkah starts on the 24th?
Did not know that this year. It starts different every year.
Yeah, one of my Jewish friends explained it to me about the calendars or something.
How does that work?
I don't know. I didn't listen to him too. I was thinking about my damn sleep the night before and the bad mattress
I had. You're obsessed with that.
And my arm was hurting from my wife lying.
Yeah. I noticed you're favoring it today.
It's a little limp, a little gimpy. But,
certainly.
No, I'm ready for Christmas, and I actually just clicked the station to the Christmas music station yesterday.
Nice.
So
I don't get into the holiday spirit until the week before Christmas, because that's when you're bombarded by it and everything is Christmas. And then all of a sudden I start liking the world, which is not easy.
That's
these
when days. You start to hear those sleigh bells ringing
and those
jing jing jingling ling.
I don't even know the rest of the song. I don't. You said the line, and I was going to say the next line. I have no idea what it is. I don't care for it. I don't care for the season because everybody is phony nice, and they really are. I think they really feel like they're being nice to other people because they're sucked into the seasonal thing. But it concerns me that as soon as that holiday is over, people get into a depression, and then all of a sudden they're not seasonal anymore, and they're back to their own nasty ways. So I find it superficial in a sense. Actually, they were sucked into the holiday, similar to the way that Trump sucked people into the presidency.
We're not going down those roads.
I'm sorry.
It's a Trump-free podcast.
Part of this program, by the way, Dysfunctionally Normal, is to discuss things that you go through in your everyday life, but you just really never talk about it to anybody. And here are two guys talking about it, and you're saying, man, they're actually talking about the stuff that nobody else talks about that we all go through. We also have this fine passion for certain entertainment factions from the past.
Oh, yeah.
The world might have been a better place at one point. No, there were no smartphones and that kind of thing. No big internet software.
No Googles.
Yeah, but see, that was not so bad. I'm a little bit older than Mark Schipetta here. But yet, we come from the same school, not brick and mortar school, but the same school of thought where simpler days were interesting, fun days. And it's good times to go back in your mind and to enjoy the things that once were. So we're going to be speaking to a lot of guests and a lot of people that had a hand in developing our culture from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Oh, yeah, and as an investigator by trade, I am going to be making this my mission to investigate and get these people to call in and be on a podcast. Now, what you say makes great sense, but it's also one of my biggest problems in life. And I guess to touch on music and Christmas music, or I call it Christmas music, holiday music, whatever you want to call it. It's like everything in my life right now, it's twofold. It's my whole life right now consists of not dysfunctionally normal, but passive aggressive. Christmas music to me is kind of falls into that category. It's kind of similar to when I watch the Johnny Carson show. I go up and down and up and down. Now, the same thing happens with Christmas music. I listen to I hear a Christmas music song. I'm like, awesome. Here's a song by Bing Crosby. Love the song. Bing Crosby's dead.
Yeah.
I'm getting old. So I go from...
I have the same problem. When I watch the situation comedies from the 60s and 70s and some of the quiz shows and game shows, all of a sudden it comes to pass in my brain that I'm watching people that are no longer here.
Right.
And this is their legacy is on the screen, but I cannot talk to them. They have vanished.
Yes.
And sometimes I say to myself, even these people who have tons of money and popularity, no one could save their lives. They still passed at a certain point. And it's very, it makes you feel your mortality comes into play. And you realize exactly where you are in this cycle. Mark, that's because we're dealing in the past, and that's what happens when you do that. Not everybody takes the ride with you all the way.
But a lot of people can deal in the past and not let it bother them like it bothers me and it bothers you. Now, my wife's, you know, finds joy when I sit there and I watch a show that I like, and then she's like, but then you start getting all upset over it.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't
know. Well, I don't visibly get upset, but within me, I feel like I'm happy, but I'm also sad now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a roller coaster of emotions.
In that sense, it is.
And there's not a lot of Christmas songs that are new. There's not a lot of anything that's new. Well, everything, I think what's happening in entertainment and in society is what we're basically saying is life sucks right now, and it was better back then. Because they remake TV shows, they remake movies, they play, they have classic channels all over the place, they play all old music. Mm. Right?
I think it's always been like that. I mean, although I don't have any King Arthur silverware that I know of, but there are antiques. People buy antiques. Things that I have a problem with antiques for the same reason, Mr. Shepetta, because I will not buy a chair from a store that somebody else owned who passed away. If I need a chair, I'll buy a new chair that is my chair. We'll call it my chair,
right?
Like my pillow.
Right.
But I will not. I will not put a chair in my room that is 100 years old.
No,
that the dead people sat in.
Because other asses. Do you think their asses?
Spiritual asses.
Right.
It's not that. It's just that this chair has seen other things, and I don't want. It has nothing to do with the ass.
You want to create your own ass memories on chairs.
People who were once alive sat in these chairs, and now they're not.
Now, what if there was an asshole on that chair, and you could go through that hole into time?
There's an asshole in the White House. So sorry. I so much apologize. Sometimes it just seeps in.
He's not in the White House yet.
No, unfortunately,
he's only the president-elect.
Yeah,
and
unfortunately,
something could happen. But this show is dysfunctionally normal, and
it's
non-political.
It's non-political. You're absolutely
right. I don't like politics. We already talked about that. Politics suck. Politics make people have angst and anger towards each other.
2016 was a horrible year, basically because of politics, I feel, because we were encompassed by it, soaked in by it, surrounded by it, reminded of it every minute of every day.
Yes.
We knew what every candidate did, blowing their nose or not blowing their nose, being sick, not being sick, saying something stupid, saying something smart. It was a horrendous year, and I wish that in this country they passed some type of law that said campaigning can only be for 3 months, which they do in other countries.
Yeah, and they're going to get rid of the Electoral College eventually, too, to not get into politics. But what's the best year of your life? Do you have a year that was the best year of your life? Really?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Let me guess.
This is going to sound horrible.
I would say 1969.
It was in that area, but no.
No, what year?
No. I won't say the year, but it was the year... it was 3 years before I got married.
Oh, I was going to say, was it BN or AN?
It was before whatever. It was the best part. I had a good job. I was dating everything in sight and then some. It was the freedom. It was heaven. It was absolute heaven. You can't do that all your life because you'll be more than dysfunctionally normal.
Right.
So you have to sit down and take some responsibility and some commitment at some point. But that was the best ever.
So that was ever. What year was that approximately? early '70s
on the year.
Oh, all right,
1922.
Yeah, see, I said mine. I would say mine was somewhere in the '80s, possibly. But you know, and my wife gets.
Were you married at the time?
No, I was in high school.
Case in point.
Yes, my wife gets offended mm-hmm. when I wax so nostalgic about the past and.
Correct.
You know, yesterday I was home for a few hours because I had Max. He was sick, so yes. I got a late start in the office, and I had Max, and he was on his phone playing. My youngest son, Max. He's 11. He's on his phone and he's playing. And I said, Max, I want you to. And I was working from the living room on some files in some cases. And I said, Max, I want you to come into the living room. I taped a show for you.
Mm-hmm.
I taped the original Muppet movie from 1979 mm-hmm. and I made him sit there and watch it with me. And I said, Max, do you know who Jim Henson is? And he didn't know who Jim Henson was. Right. So, you know, so I was talking to my wife about it and I take it upon myself to educate my children about pop culture and things from the past because mm-hmm. they feel like they need to know this stuff mm-hmm. going forward. Now, Thanksgiving Eve, and you can call me a Nazi or whatever you want to call me, if that's the right term.
Already?
Every Thanksgiving Eve, I have all my kids over mm-hmm. and my stepchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Chinese food, and we just kind of hang out before the big day, mm-hmm. Eating turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And after we do that, I make all my family put their phones down, mm-hmm. and we sit on the sofa, and I make them watch my all-time favorite Thanksgiving comedy movie of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Mm-hmm. And this year they're like, oh, we have to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
I said, look.
Oh, man. You can't see him, but he took his finger out.
Right. I said, someday when I'm dead,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be sitting down with your kids and you're going to be watching Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, mm-hmm. and it's going to make you remember the wonderful memories of your father who forced you mm-hmm. to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like It's a Wonderful Life,
yes.
You know, in that tradition.
Perhaps so.
So is that wrong of me to force my children to do that?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. It just sounds wrong. It's right to force them to do it. Maybe once or twice, to do it every single
year.
It's
once a year, Thanksgiving Eve. It's for an hour and a half.
Do you know every single year, because of who I'm married to,
yes.
I have to watch A Christmas Story, which is a... did you ever see that movie?
It loops on Christmas Day.
Correct, sir.
On TBS.
You can't not see it.
Right.
For years and years, by my parents, yeah. I was forced to watch The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
And I said, why? And they said, because it's a classic.
So you haven't taken this into your life. You've rebelled against it as opposed to...
Correct.
As opposed to look fondly Correct. Back on it.
I saw the movies. Oh. I saw them twice, maybe three times. And every year is a little much. It's a Wonderful Life is
Love
on
that
television.
Movie. He was the it's nicest...
Fine.
Awesomest.
At what point are you not surprised by what happens at the end?
Although he was a hardcore Republican, Jimmy Stewart. Sorry.
Times have changed.
Yes. You still don't shed a tear at the end of that?
I shed a tear at the beginning when I'm forced to watch it again. No, I can't. I can't. But that's just me and movies. You see, I will watch half an hour situation comedies 10 times over the same episode.
But you won't watch a movie over.
No.
Can you name the two characters in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
The character names?
Yes.
No.
Really?
I cannot.
Well, John Candy.
It wasn't my favorite.
John Candy is played by Del Griffith.
Yeah.
And Steve Martin is Neil Page. Mm-hmm. Del Griffith was a shower curtain ring salesman.
Uh-huh.
Neil Page was a New York City executive.
Are you making me sit through it again?
I asked my children, am I more of a Del Griffith or am I more of a Del Griffith or Neil Page?
Or Ginger or Marianne. See, that's where I was.
My wife was getting pissed because I kept pausing it. And I said, now look at this scene. Now tell me the significance of what happened.
So you're doing quizzes and everything.
You know what? You know, here's a funny scene. I paused it. It was a New York City street scene.
Yeah.
All right. And I paused it and I said, take a look at this, kids. Tell me what's your observation of this scene of these people in New York City. Now, my best buddy Kenny was there and his son, and he yells out, I go, what's different? He yells out, there's no black people?
Mm-hmm. Was that the right answer?
No. The answer was nobody was on cell phones.
Oh.
And everyone was just walking down the street and talking.
I see. Because there were black people back then.
Not many.
Well, not on that particular street, perhaps.
not in that scene of that movie.
There were many, though.
There were many.
Perhaps they were not infiltrated into the movies as they are now, but there were still.
Yes. So then I started to count the white and black people and to see. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. So they're enjoying the film. Let me understand this, because I think now you're wrong. They're enjoying the film, and you actually freeze it, and like a history professor, you're analyzing.
I was analyzing plates right now.
Leave these people alone.
My wife was falling asleep. She's like, I work today. Yeah. Can we get this over with?
Leave these people alone.
So now I think what's happening is they're going to have an intervention.
I think so. About you.
And they're going to try to have a vote
to
watch something different next year.
You're going to be overthrown.
Yeah. I'm the king of the house. I'm the Don. I'm the mob boss of my house.
Well, you think so, but apparently you're going to be outvoted.
Apparently my wife's going to get outvoted, but I sat and watched Rudolph the other night.
Yeah.
And that's from 1964.
Mm-hmm.
And when's the last time you watched it?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
When's the last time you watched it, honestly?
I'd say 12 years ago.
All right. Watch it again. Watch it tonight.
Freeze frame it. You're gonna ask me how many black reindeer there are?
No, but watch it. Well, actually, brown.
Brown, red, whatever.
And one is a red. One is a red nose.
Right.
But he drank too much.
Oh, now we're getting into the Irish. Right. This whole show is starting to get wrong. By the way,
so do me a favor.
Yeah.
Watch Rudolph,
mm-hmm.
and then report back to me.
I'm not gonna fall into your little history thing with the quizzes.
I want a two paragraph.
No, fuck you! I'm not doing it.
But if you watch it, it's very Santa Claus was an asshole in that show.
Well, yeah.
He was miserable. Mm-hmm. He was racist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you watch that and you really look at that,
I may be interested in taking a look.
Watch it from that perspective.
Yeah. Okay.
Seriously. Right. You know, the Island of Misfit Toys.
Yeah.
Segregation. Like, there's all types of...
I assume didn't treat the elves real well.
He treated the elves like crap.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he did. Santa Claus was miserable. Yeah.
Well, look. The concept of having to deliver so many toys in such a short period of time is going to get up anybody's ass, isn't it?
Yeah, I assume he was pretty upset.
I mean, why couldn't they just spread it out all year round? Why does it have to be like one
night? And Christmas was going to be canceled that year.
Right.
Until Rudolph came along and freaking spoiled it with his nose so bright.
Unless the toys were delivered by Spirit Airlines.
Right.
Nobody getting anything this year.
Oh, boy.
All right.
I don't know. I'm excited for Christmas. It's... It's never as fun as it was when you were a kid, but you try to live through your own children. I have one left that's young.
You now
have a grandchild. I hate to say it.
It's true. Brand new. Just came out of the box.
And so they kind of suck at that age where you need like three more years.
Mark, everybody sucks at every age. Believe me.
Right,
I guess there's a period of time. I'm just not into it anymore.
Well.
I'm not into it. I do live through children. That sounds awful, doesn't it?
You live through children.
I don't live through them, but I don't, you know, it's their holiday. I don't care.
Yeah. And again,
I'm very cynical.
See, this is my personality, and you can call me a good guy or not a good guy, but you know, you get, you know, the media, you know, pushes Christmas on you so much and you get so excited.
Oh no.
And
Well, I'm going to interrupt you here.
Yes.
I'm going to freeze frame this.
Yes.
Because
freeze frame.
It's not so much the media, it's businesses.
The advertisers.
Advertisers.
In the media.
Advertisers demand that the station that you're watching airs stuff that they think people are going to want to watch. So they control a lot of that as well. So it's business that is overwhelming this. The fact that we celebrate the holidays way before Thanksgiving even starts is that's all the advertisers. That's all the companies trying to push the crap on you so you'll buy it.
Do you think I need Prozac or something? Because even with Christmas, I think of Christmas, and I watch these Christmas commercials, and I watch all this stuff about Christmas and the happiness and the gifts. And I get excited for it. But then guess what happens?
I don't know.
I think of a child that's watching the same thing that has nothing.
Right.
and Christmas isn't happy for that right. child. And then I get sad. I've been a bag of emotions lately where yeah. I'm happy and sad all the time.
Yeah. I think I'm ready to answer your Prozac question.
Yes.
Perhaps. Consult with your doctor. Right. No, well, I think we in the industry of entertaining,
yes,
we have to be more sensitive than the functional normally people,
right?
Because we have to see every angle of everything from every dimension, yeah. every possibility,
yes.
every positive, every negative.
Yes.
That's what people like us do,
right?
And you need people like that to do these kinds of programs, because otherwise we'd be talking about planting during the spring months. Make sure your petunias yeah. get in before the freeze comes, and nobody would listen.
Elder law, if you, tax preparation.
Exactly. This is, you have to be super sensitive and super observant and super analytical in order to do this kind of crap. And it's a curse.
It is a curse.
And a blessing.
It is. You know what? That's my life is basically a curse and a blessing. Sure. I am a walking conflict.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
There are many times I wish that I could go to a cabin and sit there and not listen to the news, not have a phone, just vegetate with plenty of drugs and with the animals, feed the bears, things like that. But then I realize that's not going to work for more than 3 hours because that's not my personality.
You want to talk about a conflict or hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
I tried meditating mm-hmm. through an app on my smartphone.
Okay.
How messed up is that?
Pretty messed up.
You want to meditate? Put a meditation app on your phone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little weird.
But there's a lot of it out there. A lot of people meditate through their apps.
Correct.
Meditating's hard for me. My brain just goes a million miles an hour. That's why I don't sleep, because it races.
Yeah.
I dream intense all the time. Right,
here's what I do.
Abstract mind.
I've got the same problem.
Yeah.
My dreams are very intense.
Yeah,
and sometimes
same here.
I wonder, like, will I wake up from them
right.
because they are like, they're driving me crazy. Here's what I do. I do meditate every once in a while
yeah.
when I have the time, when nobody's in the house.
Right.
And here's what I do. I actually play lullaby music.
Really?
Just as if I were a six-month-old child.
Hmm.
And it's strict lullaby music. It's not anybody singing yeah. any words. It's just the piano tinkling of lullaby music. You can find it. I'm sure there's an app.
Right.
It's on Pandora, I'm sure, that kind of thing.
That puts you to sleep. It relaxes you. It slows your brain down.
It doesn't necessarily put me to sleep, but it does stop the brain from going nuts for a period of time. It brings you back to a time when your brain wasn't that full anymore.
Right.
Wasn't that full. And that was when you were a little child.
So that's when we slept better when we were children, when there was less nonsense in your head.
Exactly. There was nothing.
Overstimulation.
Correct. Correct. The only stimulation was what may be coming into your ears at that moment because you had no history of anything else.
So it's almost like you need to debrief yourself every day.
It's like deleting your cache.
Right.
Like deleting your history in your computer.
Right.
For a short period of time.
Hmm. That sounds...
Also, if you take enough Lipitor, that will also delete your history.
I don't do anything. I'm not on any meds.
Yeah,
I'm not...
Well, that's it for today. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Until then, wish you peace.